CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
Hello, I'm David Kavlovic, presenting to you some classical muse. It's a pretty intense show today, I must admit, although we do start off with something somewhat lighter in fare and substance, although nonetheless brilliant. French composer Claude Debussy wrote a six-movement piano suite that was published in 1908 under the title Children's Corner. This perennially popular piano composition was written between 1906 and 1908. Debussy dedicated the suite to his daughter Claude Emma, known as Chouchou, who was born in Paris on October 30th, 1905. Claude Emma was described as a lively and friendly child who was adored by her father. She was 3 years old when Debussy dedicated the suite to her in 1908. The dedication reads, "À ma chère petite chouchou, avec les tendres excuses de son père pour ce qui va suivre." To my dear little chouchou, with tender apologies from her father for what follows. The title of each of the six movements are descriptive of the effect that particular movement achieves. The first movement, Dr. Gradus ad Parnassum, pays homage, of sorts, to the tedious piano exercises by Carl Czerny and Muzio Clementi that were published under that title. The second movement, Jumbo's Lullaby, is an homage to the famous elephant Jumbo, Jumbo being the Parisian pronunciation of that name. The third movement, Serenade for the Doll, is a soft piece about a porcelain doll. The fourth movement is titled Snow is Dancing, the fifth, The Little Shepherd, and finally, Gollywog's Cakewalk. A tip of the hat to ragtime with a slight jab at Richard Wagner in the middle. Here is Claude Debussy's Children's Corner, performed by Canadian pianist Lise Boucher. Thank you. Claude Debussy's delightful piano suite published in 1908, titled Children's Corner. We heard it performed by Canadian pianist Lise Boucher. Our first major work on the show today is a mid-20th century Polish opera in one act by the composer Tadeusz Baird, who lived from 1928 until 1981. A prolific and important Polish composer of the post-World War II era, Baird was at first concerned with composing communicative and expressive music according to the then dominant ideology in the Eastern Bloc known as socialist realism. That was a convenient term that could mean, well, practically anything, so long as it wasn't bourgeois, which again could mean anything as well. Socialist realism was a term conveniently dropped once Joseph Stalin died in 1953. In reality, Baird was drawn to the techniques of serialism, an outgrowth of Arnold Schoenberg's 12-tone technique that goes beyond dictating the orders of pitch in a theme to include duration, dynamics, and timbre as well. Nevertheless, Baird's music is usually melodic, lyrical, and very expressive, often rooted in the post-romantic tradition, despite the use of serial techniques. Baird's music is often influenced by poetry, as well as by theater and film, both genres of which Baird composed for. Perhaps because of his traumatic experiences as a teen during the German occupation of the Second World War, at the age of 16, Baird was deported to Germany as forced labor and later to a concentration camp after attempting to escape, Baird's music and personal mood grew darker as the 60s progressed. This change to the dark side, as it were, started with his 1966 opera Jutro, or Tomorrow, the work we are going to hear. The libretto is based on a short story of the same title by the 19th century Polish-British author Joseph Conrad. This story is very intense and somewhat terrifying as it goes, and it is as follows. In a small fishing town, there live only two people. Ogias, an old man mad with hope, and Jessica, a young girl who carelessly allows herself to be drawn into his game of hope. Ogias awaits the return of his son, Hari, who many years ago fled home onto the sea. Ogias centers his entire existence around his son's imminent return, hoping for a new, better tomorrow. In this more perfect world, he places Jessica, the only being who sympathizes with him, next to his son, Harry. Jessica allows herself to enter this beautiful yet unreal world. The only person who sees the impending misfortune is Joshua, Jessica's father, a blind carpenter. When the long-awaited Harry finally appears, he turns out to be banal, brutal, and foolish. Harry finds amusement in a situation he doesn't understand and tries to exploit it. Ogias can't comprehend what he is seeing, so he doesn't recognize his own son and banishes him. Jessica, however, needs Harry. Harry is willing to give himself to Jessica, but violently. In fact, he tries to rape her. When she screams, Ogias comes running and kills his own son, especially because he does not recognize Harry as Harry. Ogias still believes in the fictional son he has created. In other words, he kills a reality he cannot cope with. His world remains intact. He will continue to wait for his son. But now in this world, there is no room for Jessica. He tries to draw her in once more, but now recoils before her rather mad laughter. The rising laughter, tragic, stands at the threshold of the tomorrow, Jutro, that will never arrive. In this dramatic work, we hear mezzo-soprano Krystyna Szostek-Radkova as Jessica, baritone Jerzy Artisz as Joshua, her father, bass Edward Pawlak as Ogias, Harry's father, and actor Janusz Ostrowski as Harry, which is a spoken role. The Poznan Philharmonic Symphony Orchestra is conducted by Reinhard Tchaikovsky. Here is Jutro, Tomorrow, by Tadeusz Baird.
Mówić nic.